change. I have to. And I fucking will.
Chapter 101. Tessa. By the time I take a shower and dry my hair, it's already 6 and the sky is long since dark. I knock on Landon's bedroom door, but there's no answer. I don't see his car in the driveway, but he's been parking in the garage lately, so he may still be here. I have no idea what to wear because I don't know where we're going. I can't stop looking out the window, waiting anxiously for Hardin's car to appear in the driveway. When the bright flash of headlights finally does appear, my stomach turns. Most of my anxiety is dissolved when Hardin steps out of the car in the black button-up shirt he wore to the dinner party. Is he wearing dress pants? Oh my God, he is. And dress shoes. Shiny black dress shoes. Wow. Hardin dressed up? I feel underdressed, but the way he's looking at me dissolves my unease. He really is going all out for this. He looks so handsome, and he even styled his hair. It's pushed back, and I can tell he used something to keep it that way, because it doesn't fall down onto his forehead as he walks the way it usually does. He flushes.
Hi?
Hi. I can't stop staring at him. Wait. Where are your piercings? The metal rings are gone from his eyebrow and lip.
I took them out.
He shrugs. Why?
I don't know. You don't think I look better this way?
He looks into my eyes. No. I loved the way you looked before. And now, too, but you should put them back.
I don't want them back in.
He walks to the passenger side of his car to open the door for me. Hardin, I hope you didn't take them out because you thought I'd like you better this way, because it's not true. I love you either way. Please put them back in. His eyes light up at my words, and I look away before climbing into the car. No matter how mad I am at him, I never want him to feel like he has to change his appearance for me. I was judgmental when I saw his rings for the first time, but I grew to love them. They're part of him.
It's not really like that, honestly. I've been thinking about taking them out for a while anyway. I've had them forever, and they're sort of annoying. Besides, who the hell will hire me for a real job with that shit in my face?
He buckles his seatbelt and looks over to me. People would hire you. It's the 21st century. If you like them...
It's not that big of a deal. I sort of like the way I look without them. Like I'm not hiding anymore, you know?
I stare at him again and take in his new look. He looks exquisite. He always does. But it's sort of nice to not have any distractions on his perfect face. Well, I think you look perfect either way, Hardin. Just don't think that I want you to look a certain way, because I don't, I tell him, and mean it. When he looks at me, he gives me such a shy smile that I forget what I wanted to yell at him about. Where are you taking me anyway? I ask him.
To dinner. It's a really nice place.
His voice is shaky. Nervous Hardin is my new favorite Hardin. Have I heard of it?
I don't know. Maybe?
The rest of the car ride is quiet. I hum along to the Frey songs that Hardin has obviously taken a strong liking to, and Hardin stares out the windshield. He keeps rubbing his hand over his thigh as he drives, a nervous action, I can tell. When we arrive at the restaurant, it looks fancy and very expensive. All of the cars in the parking lot cost more than my mother's house, I'm sure.
I meant to open the door for you,
he tells me when I open the door to get out. I can shut it back and you can reopen it, I offer.
That hardly counts, Teresa.
He smiles his smug smile, and I can't help the butterflies in my stomach that appear when he calls me by my real name. It used to drive me crazy, but I secretly loved every time he would say it to annoy me. I love it almost as much as I love the way he says Tess. We're back to Teresa, I see. I smile back at him.
Yes. Yes, we are,
he says and takes my arm. I can see his confidence growing with each step we take toward the restaurant.
Chapter 102. Hardin. Do you know of another place you think you might like instead? I ask her when we get back to the car. The man at the fancy restaurant I made reservations at claimed that my name wasn't on the list. I kept my cool, careful not to ruin the night. He was such a fucking prick. My fingers gripped the steering wheel. Calm. I need to relax. I look over at Tessa and smile. She bites her lip and looks away. Was that creepy? That was creepy. Well, that was awkward. My voice is unsteady and oddly high-pitched. Do you have anything in particular you want, since we've apparently moved on to Plan B now? I ask her, wishing I could think of another nice place to take her. One that might actually let us in. No, not really. Just somewhere with food. She smiles. She's being really cool about this, and I'm glad. It was humiliating to be turned away like that. Okay, McDonald's then. I tease just to hear her laugh.
We may look a little silly in McDonald's.
Yeah, a little. I agree. I have no fucking idea where to go now. I should have come up with a backup plan ahead of time. This night is already spiraling, and it hasn't even started yet. We pull up to a spotlight, and I look around. A crowd of people fills the parking lot next to us.
What's going on over there?
Tessa asks, trying to peer around me.
I don't know.
There's an ice skating rink or some shit, I tell her.
Ice skating?
Her voice raises the way it does when she's getting excited.
Oh, no. Can we?
She asks.
Fuck.
Go ice skating? I ask innocently, like I'm unsure of what she means.
Please say no. Please say no.
Yeah,
she exclaims. I don't... I've never ice skated in my life and never intended to. But if this is what she wants to do, then it won't kill me to try. Maybe it will, but I'll do it anyway.
Sure, we can.
When I look over, I can tell she's surprised. She never expected me to agree to it. Hell, I didn't either.
Wait, what'll we wear? I only have this dress and some toms. I should have worn jeans. It would have been so fun,
she says, almost pouting. We could always run to the store and get you some clothes. I have some in my trunk that I could wear, I tell her. I can't believe I'm going through all this shit to go ice skating.
Okay,
she beams.
The trunk full of clothes comes in handy. Actually, why do you keep those clothes in there, anyway? You've never told me.
It was just a habit. When I'd stay with girls, I mean, when I would be out all night, I'd need different clothes in the morning, and I never had them, so I just started keeping them in my trunk. It's pretty convenient, I explain. Her lips are pursed slightly, and I know I shouldn't have mentioned the other girls, even if they were before her. I wish she knew how it was then, how I would fuck them with no emotion. It wasn't the same. I didn't touch them the way I do her. I didn't study every inch of their bodies. I didn't revel in their shallow breathing and try to match mine to theirs. I didn't desperately wait for them to say they loved me while I moved in and out of them. I didn't let them touch me in our sleep. If I even stayed in the same bed as them, it was because I was too drunk to move. It wasn't anything like it is with her. And if she knew that, maybe knowing about them wouldn't bother her. If I were her, I... Thoughts of Tessa fucking anyone else cloud my mind and make me nauseous.
Harden?
She says quietly, bringing me back to reality. Yeah?
Did you hear me?
No, sorry. What did you say?
You passed Target already.
Oh shit, sorry. I'll turn around. I pull into the next parking lot and turn the car around. Tessa has an obsession with Target that I'll never understand. It's just like M&S back in London, only more expensive, and the employees are annoying as shit in their stupid red polos and khaki pants. But she always tells me,
Target has great quality and a lot to choose from.
I can't say she's wrong, but big box stores are still one of the things in America that make me feel most like the foreigner that I am.
I'll just run inside and get something,
Tessa says when I park the car. Are you sure? I can come. I want to go with her, but I can't insist on my presence, not tonight.
If you want to.
I do, I answer before she can finish. Within 10 minutes, she has her basket nearly full of crap. She ended up getting a gigantic sweatshirt and some sort of spandex pants. She swears they're not spandex, that they're leggings. But damn if they don't look like spandex to me. I try to stop picturing her in them as she grabs gloves, a scarf, and a hat. She acts like we're going to fucking Antarctica. Then again, it is pretty damn cold outside.
I really think you should get some gloves, too. The ice is really cold, and when you fall, your hands will freeze.
She says again. I'm not going to fall. But sure, I'll get gloves if you insist. I smile, and she returns it as she tosses a pair of black gloves into her basket.
Do you want a hat?
She asks. No, I have a beanie in the trunk.
Of course you do.
She pulls the scarf out of the basket and hangs it back up. No scarf? I ask her.
I think I'll be okay with all of this.
She points to the basket. Yeah, I'd say so, I tease, but she ignores me and walks to the sock section. We're going to be in this damn store all night. Finally, Tessa says,
Okay, I'm done, I think.
At the register, she tries to argue with me over paying for her stuff, like she always does. But this is a date that I asked her on, so there's no way in hell I'm letting her pay. To that sentiment, she just rolls her eyes a few times and takes out her purse and hands over her last bills to the clerk. Is she running low on money? If she was, would she tell me? Should I ask her? Fuck, I'm thinking way too much into this. By the time we get back to the lots where the skating is, Tessa's ready to jump out of the car, but we need to change first. I change my clothes. She keeps her head turned and stares out the window the whole time. Afterward, I tell her, we can find a bathroom for you to change in. But she just shrugs.
I was just going to change in the car so I don't have to carry my dress around.
No, there are too many people. Someone will see you undress. I look around at the area of the parking lot where we are, and it's pretty empty, but still.
Harden, it's fine,
she says, with a little annoyance. I should have stolen that stress ball I saw on my father's desk last night. If you insist, I huff, and she tears the tags off of her new clothes.
Can you help me unzip this before you get out?
She asks me. Yeah. I reach across the center console, and she lifts her hair up to allow me access to the zipper. I have unzipped this dress countless times, but this is the first time that I won't be able to touch her as she slides it down her arms.
Thank you. Now wait outside,
she instructs. What? It's not like I haven't... I start to say.
Harden.
Fine. Hurry up. I get out of the car and close the door. What I just said was rude, I realize. I open the door quickly and lean down. Please, I add, and close it again. I can hear her laughing inside the car. Minutes later, she climbs out, and her hands comb through her long hair before she pulls a purple beanie down over her head. When she joins me on the other side of the car, she looks cute. She always looks beautiful and sexy. But something about the giant sweatshirt, hat, and gloves makes her look even more innocent than usual.
Here, you forgot your gloves, she says, handing them to me.
Good thing. I wouldn't have made it without them, I mock, and she nudges me with her elbow. She's so goddamned cute. There are so many things I want to say to her, but I don't want to say something wrong and ruin the night. You know, if you wanted to wear such a large sweater, you could have worn one of mine and saved yourself $20, I say. And she grabs my hand, but lets go quickly.
Sorry,
she mutters, and her cheeks flush. I want to grab her hand again, but I'm distracted by a short woman greeting us.
What size skates?
The lady asks in a deep voice. I look down at Tessa, and she answers for both of us. The woman returns with two pairs of ice skates, and I cringe. There is no way in hell this is going to go well. I follow Tess to a bench nearby and remove my shoes. She has both of her ice skates on before I have half of my foot in one. Hopefully she'll get bored easily and want to leave.
You okay over there?
She mocks me as I finally lace up the second skate.
Yes.
Where do I put my shoes? I ask her.
I'll take them.
The short woman appears out of nowhere. I hand her my shoes, and Tess does the same with hers.
Ready?
She asks, and I stand up. I grip the railing immediately.
How the fuck am I going to do this?
Tessa fights a smile.
It gets easier when you're moving on the ice.
I sure fucking hope so. It doesn't get easier, though, and I fall 3 times within 5 minutes. Tessa laughs each time, and I have to admit that if I didn't have the gloves, my hands would be ice by now. She laughs and reaches her hand out to me to help me up.
Remember, like, 30 minutes ago when you said you weren't going to fall?
What are you, some sort of professional ice skater? I ask her as I climb to my feet. I hate ice skating more than anything right now, but she is beyond amused.
No, I haven't been in a while, but my friend Josie and I used to go a lot.
Josie? I've never heard you talk about any friends from back home.
I didn't have many. I spent most of my time with Noah growing up. Josie moved before my senior year.
Oh. I don't know why she wouldn't have many friends. So what if she's a little OCD and prudish and she obsesses over novels? She's nice. Sometimes too damn nice to everyone. Except me, of course. She gives me shit constantly. But I do love that about her. Most of the time. 30 minutes later, we haven't even lapped around the rink once because of my fine footwork.
I'm hungry,
she says at last, and looks over to a food stand with dancing lights on top. I smile. But you haven't fallen and pulled me down with you, so you're lying perfectly on top of me and staring into my eyes, like the movies.
This is so not like the movies,
she reminds me, and heads toward the exit. I wish she had held my hand while we skated. If I could manage to stay on my feet, that is. All the happy couples seem to be mocking us as they circle around me holding hands. The second I leave the rink, I remove the horrendous skates and find the tiny lady and get my damn shoes back.
You really have a future in sports.
Tess teases me for the 1,000th time when I join her at the food stand, where she's eating a funnel cake and wiping flakes of powdered sugar off her purple sweatshirt. Ha ha! I roll my eyes. My ankles still hurt from that shit. I could have taken you somewhere else to eat. Funnel cakes aren't exactly a nice dinner. I tell her and look at the ground.
It's fine. I haven't had one in so long.
She has eaten all of hers and half of mine. I catch her staring at me again. Her face holds a thoughtful expression as she studies my face. Why do you keep staring at me? I finally ask, and she looks away.
Sorry. I'm just not used to the piercings being gone,
she admits, staring again. It's not that different. Without realizing it, I find I've moved my fingers to my mouth.
I know. It's just weird, though. I was so used to seeing them.
Should I put them back in? I didn't remove them only for her sake. It's true what I told her. I do feel like I was hiding behind them, using the small metal rings to block people out. Piercings intimidate people and make them far less likely to talk to me or come near me at all. And I feel like I'm getting past that stage of my life. I don't want to keep people out, especially not Tessa. I want to pull her in. I got them done when I was only a teenager, forging my mum's signature and getting wasted before stumbling into the shop. The dumbass could smell the booze on me, but did the piercings anyway. I don't regret getting them at all. I'm just over them. I don't feel that way about my tattoos, though. I love them, and I always will. I'll continue to cover my body in ink, expressing thoughts that I can't bring myself to actually say. Well, that's not really the case. seeing as they are random shit that have no meaning whatsoever. But they look all right, so I don't give a fuck.
I don't want you to change,
she tells me, and I look over at her.
Not physically. I only want you to show me that you can treat me better and not try to control me. I don't want you to change your personality either. I only want you to fight for me, not turn yourself into someone you think I want to be with.
Her words tug at the edges of my heart, threatening to tear it open. I'm not, I tell her. I'm trying to change for her, but not that way. This was for me and for her. Taking them out was just a step in all of this. I'm trying to be a better person, and the piercings remind me of a bad time in my life. A time I want to move on from, I tell her.
Oh,
she nearly whispers. You liked them, then? I smile.
Yes, very much,
she admits. I could put them back, I offer, but she shakes her head. I'm much less nervous now than I was 2 hours ago. This is Tessa, my Tessa, and I shouldn't be nervous.
Only if you want to.
I could put them back in when we... I stop myself.
When we what?
She tilts her head to the side. You don't want me to finish it.
Yes, I do. What were you going to say?
Fine, have it your way. I was going to say I could always put them back in and fuck you if they turn you on that much. Her horrified expression makes me laugh, and she looks around to make sure no one heard me.
Harden!
She scolds me, between bouts of red-faced laughter. I warned you. Plus, I haven't made any perverted comments at all tonight. I should be allowed one.
True.
She agrees with a smile and takes a drink of her lemonade. I want to ask her if that means she could see herself having sex with me again, since she didn't correct me. But I get the feeling this isn't the right time. It's not only because I want to feel her again. It's because I genuinely miss her so fucking much. We're getting along pretty well, especially for us. I know a lot of it's because I'm not being a dick for once. It's not that hard, really. I just have to think before I say shit.
Your birthday is tomorrow. What do you have planned?
She asks me after a few moments of silence.
Shit.
Well, Logan and Nate are sort of throwing me a party. I wasn't going to go, but Steph said they went all out and spent a shitload of money, so I figured I would at least drop by there. Unless you wanted to do something? I won't go, I tell her.
No, it's okay. I'm sure the party will be much more fun.
You could come. And because I know her answer, I add, no one even knows what's going on between us. Except Zed, of course. I need to not focus on why Zed knows my fucking business.
No. Thanks, though.
She smiles, but it doesn't meet her eyes. I really don't have to go. If she wants to spend my birthday with me, then Logan and Nate can fuck off.
No, really, it's fine. I have stuff to do anyway.
She says, and looks away.
Chapter 103, Tessa.
Do you have plans for the rest of the night?
Harden asks as he pulls into his father's driveway. No, just studying and going to sleep. Wild night, I smile at him.
I miss sleep.
He frowns, running his index finger along the ridges on the steering wheel. You haven't been sleeping? Of course he hasn't. Have you been... I begin.
Yeah, every single night,
he tells me, and my heart aches. I'm sorry. I hate this. I hate those nightmares for haunting him. I hate that I'm the only elixir, the only thing to make them stay away.
It's fine. I'm fine,
he says, but the dark circles under his eyes beg to differ. Inviting him up would be a terribly stupid idea. I'm supposed to be thinking about what to do with my life from this point forward, not spending the night with Harden. It's so awkward that he's dropping me off at his father's house. This is exactly why I need to get my own place. You could come up? Just to get some sleep. It's still early, I offer, and his head snaps up.
You'd be okay with that?
He asks, and I nod before I let my thoughts invade. Sure. Only to sleep, though, I remind him with a smile, and he nods.
I know, Tess.
I didn't mean it like that, I try to explain.
I got it.
He huffs. Okay. There's a distance between us that's both uncomfortable and necessary at the same time. I want to just reach over and push the lone strand of hair that's fallen onto his forehead, but that would be too much. I need this distance, just like I need Harden. It's very confusing, and I know inviting him up won't be helpful to clearing up that confusion, but I just really want him to be able to sleep. I give him a small smile, and he stares at me for a second before shaking his head.
You know, I better not. I've got some work to do, and...
He begins. It's fine. Really, I interrupt, and open the car door to escape my embarrassment. I shouldn't have done that. I'm supposed to be distancing myself, and here I am being rejected. Again. When I reach the door, I remember I forgot my dress and heels in Harden's car, but he's already backing out of the driveway by the time I turn around. As I wipe the makeup from my face that night and get ready for bed, my mind replays our date over and over. Harden was so... nice. Harden was nice. He was dressed up and he didn't get into a fight. He didn't even curse anyone out. This is major progress. I begin to giggle like an idiot as I remember him falling on the ice. He was so irritated, but it was so funny to watch him fall. He's so tall and lanky, and his legs kept wobbling in the skates. It was definitely one of the funniest things that I have ever seen. I'm not sure how I feel about Harden's piercings being removed, but he told me over and over that he wanted to keep them out, so it's not up to me. I wonder what his friends will say about it. My mood shifted slightly when he told me about his birthday party. I don't know what I assumed he would be doing for his birthday, but partying wasn't it. I'm an idiot, though, because this is his 21st birthday, after all. I want to spend it with him more than anything, but something bad happens every single time I go to that damn frat house, and I don't want to continue the cycle, especially when we're in such a fragile state as it is. The last thing I need is to drink and make things worse. I'd like to get Harden something for his birthday, though. I'm terrible at gifts, but I'll think of something. I stop by Landon's room, but he doesn't answer when I knock. When I open the door, he's asleep, and I decide to go to bed myself. I open the bedroom door and nearly jump out of my skin when I'm confronted with a figure sitting on the bed. I drop my toiletry bag on the dresser, then realize it's Harden, and I calm down. As I watch, he awkwardly crosses his ankles in front of him.
I'm sorry for being a dick down there. I wanted to stay.
Harden runs his fingers through his unruly hair. I asked you, too, I remind him, and cross over to the bed. He sighs.
I know, and I'm sorry. Can I please stay? I had such a good time tonight just being around you, and I'm so tired.
I contemplate this for a few moments. I wanted him to stay. I miss the comfort of having him in my bed, but he was just saying that he had things to do. What about your work? I raise a brow.
It can wait,
he says, looking distressed. I sit next to him on the bed and grab the pillow, covering my lap with it.
Thank you,
Harden says, and I scoot closer. He's still a magnet to me. I can't seem to stay even feet away from him. I look over at him and he smiles, then quickly looks down at the floor. My body has a mind of its own, and I lean into him, wrapping my hand around his. His hands are cold, his breathing heavy. I've missed you, I want to say. I want to be close to you, I want to confess. He squeezes my hand gently as I rest my head on his shoulder. One of his arms wraps around my back, holding me close. I had a really nice time tonight, I tell him.
Me too, baby. Me too.
Being called baby makes me want to be even closer to him. I look up at him to find his eyes resting on my mouth. Instinctively, my head tilts up, bringing my mouth closer to his. When I close the space between us and press my lips to his, he leans back on his elbows and I climb onto his lap. I feel one hand resting on my lower back, pushing my body further onto his.
I missed you,
he says, then sweeps his tongue over mine. I miss the cold of the metal ring, but my body is heated by my need for him, making everything else irrelevant. I missed you too. I wrap my fingers into his hair and kiss him harder. My other hand snakes down to touch the hard muscles under his shirt, but he stops me, leaning up with me still on his lap. He smiles, not without chagrin.
I think we should keep it PG.
His cheeks are flushed and his breath heavy against my face. I want to protest, to tell him that I need his touch, but I know he's right. Sighing, I climb off of his lap and lie down on the far side of the bed.
I'm sorry, Tess. I didn't mean...
He trails off. No, you're right. Really, it's okay. Let's get some sleep. I smile, my body still reeling from the contact. He lies across from me, keeping to his side of the bed with a pillow shoved between us, reminding me of our earlier days. He falls asleep fast, his peaceful snores filling the air, but when I wake up in the middle of the night, Harden is gone. Instead, a note on his pillow has taken his place.
Thank you again. Had to get some work done,
it says. The next morning, I text Harden as soon as I wake up to wish him a happy birthday and get dressed while I wait for a reply. I wish he would have stayed, but in the light of day, I'm a little relieved to not have to deal with the awkward morning after a first date thing. With a sigh, I put my phone into my bag and head downstairs to meet Landon, to tell him I'm going to miss half the day today in order to get Harden a birthday present.
Chapter 104. Harden.
It's gonna be sick, man, Nate tells me as he climbs onto the stone wall at the end of the parking lot.
Sure it will, I remark. I move out of the way of Logan's cigarette smoke and sit next to Nate.
It will, and you better not bitch out because we've had this plan for months, Logan tells me.
My legs swing back and forth, and for a second I think of pushing Logan off the stone wall for all the shit he gave me about taking my piercings out.
I'm coming. I already told you I was. Are you bringing her?
Nate asks, obviously talking about Tess.
Nah, she's busy. Busy? It's your 21st birthday, dude. You took your rings out for her. She needs to be there,
Logan remarks. Whenever she comes, shit always goes down anyway. And for the last fucking time, I didn't take them out for her. I roll my eyes and trace the cracks in the concrete.
Maybe you should have had her beat Molly's ass again. That was priceless, Nate chuckles. That was so funny. She's funny when she's drunk, too. And when she cusses, it's so funny. It's like hearing my nan cuss.
Logan laughs along with Nate.
Would you two just shut the fuck up about her already?
She's not coming.
All right, calm down, would you?
Nate asks with a smile. I wish the two of them hadn't put together a party for me, because I wanted to spend my birthday with Tessa. I don't really give a shit about birthdays, but I wanted to see her. I know she doesn't have shit to do. She just doesn't want to be around my friends. Not that I blame her.
Is something going on with you and Zed?
Nate asks as we head to class.
Yeah, he's a dick and won't stay away from Tessa.
Why?
I'm just wondering, because I saw Tessa going into the environmental whatever the fuck it's called building, and I thought it was weird,
Nate tells me.
When was this? Like 2 days ago? Monday, I think.
Are you? But I stop mid-sentence, because I know he's serious.
God damn it, Tessa. What part of stay the fuck away from Zed do you not understand? You don't care if he comes, though, right? Because we already told everybody, and I don't want to uninvite anyone,
Nate says. He's always been the nice one out of our group.
I don't give a shit. He's not the one fucking her. I am.
I tell him, and he laughs. If he only knew what was actually going on. Nate and Logan leave me in front of the athletic building, and I have to admit I'm anxious to see Tessa. I wonder how she wore her hair today. And if she'll be in those pants that I love so much. What the fuck? It still blows my mind the way I think about the dumbest shit. Months ago, if you told me I'd be daydreaming about the way some girl was wearing her hair, I would have knocked your teeth out. And yet here I am, hoping that Tessa's pulled hers back so I can see her face. Later, I can't believe I'm back at the frat house again. It feels like ages ago that I lived here. I don't miss it at all, but I don't exactly love living in that apartment alone either. This year has been fucking insane. I really can't believe I'm 21 now and will be finished with university next year. My mum kept crying on the phone earlier about how I'm growing up too quickly, and I ended up hanging up on her because she just wouldn't stop. In my defence, I was somewhat polite about it, acting as if my phone was about to die the whole conversation. The house is packed, the street is lined with cars, and I wonder who the fuck all these people are that are here for my birthday. I know the party isn't totally for me. It's just an excuse to throw a big-ass party. But still, just as I begin to wish Tessa were here, I spot Molly's hideous pink hair, and I'm glad Tessa didn't come.
There's the birthday boy.
She smiles and walks into the house before me.
Scott!
Tristan calls from the kitchen. He's already been drinking, I can tell.
Where's Tessa?
Steph asks. All of my friends are standing in a small circle, basically staring me down, as I try to think of something on the spot. The last thing I need is for them to know I'm trying to persuade her to come back to me.
Wait, more importantly, where the hell are your rings?
Steph puts her hand under my chin and tilts my head to examine me like I'm a fucking lab rat.
Get off!
I groan and pull away from her.
Holy shit! You're turning into one of them,
Molly says, and points to a group of preppy douchebags across the room.
No, I'm not.
I glare at her. She cackles and presses on.
Yes, you are. She told you to take them out, didn't she?
No, she didn't. I took them out because I fucking felt like it. Mind your own damn business, I snap, and she rolls her eyes.
Whatever you say.
She walks away, thank God.
Ignore her. Anyway, is Tessa coming?
Steph asks me, and I shake my head.
Well, I miss her. I wish she would hang out more.
She takes a drink from her red cup.
Me too,
I say under my breath, and fill a cup with water. Much to my misery, the music and voices get louder as the night goes on. Everyone is wasted before 8 o'clock. I still haven't decided if I want to drink or not. I went a long time without drinking, until that night at my father's when I destroyed all of Karen's china. I used to go through these lame-ass parties without drinking. Well, for the most part. I barely remember my early college days, bottle after bottle, slut after slut. It's a blur, and I'm glad. Shit didn't make sense before Tessa came around. I find a spot on the couch next to Tristan and zone out to thoughts of Tessa while my friends play another dumbass drinking game.
Chapter 105. Tessa.
Hey,
the text from Harden reads. The butterflies that appear in my stomach are ridiculous. How's your party? I send, and shove another handful of popcorn into my mouth. I've been staring at the screen of my e-reader for 2 hours straight, and I need a break.
Lame. Can I come over?
He responds. I nearly jump off the bed. I made the decision earlier after spending hours finding a decent gift for him that my space can wait until after his birthday. I don't care how needy or pathetic that is. If he chooses to spend time with me over his friends, I'll take it. He really is trying, and I need to acknowledge that. Granted, we need to discuss his not wanting a future with me and how that will affect my career. But that can wait until tomorrow. Yeah, how long until you'll be here? I write. I dig through the dresser and grab a blue sleeveless shirt that Harden once told me looks nice on me. I'll have to wear jeans, otherwise I'll look like an idiot sitting in this bedroom in a dress. I wonder what he'll be wearing. Will his hair be pushed back like it was yesterday? Was his party boring without me and he wanted to see me instead? He really is changing, and I love him for it. Why am I so giddy?
30 minutes.
I rush to the bathroom to brush the popcorn kernels from my teeth. I shouldn't be kissing him, should I? It is his birthday. One kiss won't be so bad, and let's be honest, he deserves a kiss for all the effort he's put into this so far. One kiss won't hurt anything I'm trying to do. I touch up my makeup and run the hairbrush through my hair before pulling it into a ponytail. I clearly have no sense of judgment where Harden is involved, but I'll scold myself tomorrow. I know he doesn't do much for birthdays, but I want this one to be different. I want him to know that his birthday is important. I grab the gift I bought and begin to wrap it quickly. The paper I bought is covered in music notes and would make a good book cover. I'm getting nervous and sidetracked, even though I shouldn't be. Okay, see you soon, I send, and head downstairs after scribbling his name on the small gift tag. Karen is dancing to an old Luther Vandross song, and I can't help but laugh when she turns around with flushed cheeks. Sorry, I didn't know you were there, she says, clearly embarrassed. I love this song. My father used to play it all the time, I tell her, and she smiles. He has good taste, then. He did. I smile at the somewhat decent memory of my father twirling me around the kitchen, before the sun fell and he gave my mother a black eye for the first time. So what are you up to tonight? Landon's at the library again, she tells me, though I already knew. I was actually going to see if you could help me make a cake or something for Harden. It's his birthday and he's going to be here in about a half hour. I can't help but smile. He is? Well, of course we can make a quick sheet cake. Or actually, let's do a two-layer circle cake. What does he like better, chocolate or vanilla? Chocolate cake and chocolate icing, I tell her. No matter how much I feel I don't know him sometimes, I know him better than I think I know myself. Okay, get the pans out for me? She asks, and I jump to it. 30 minutes later, I'm waiting for the cake to cool the rest of the way so that we can ice it before Harden gets here. Karen has dug out some old candles. She could only find a 1 and a 3, but I know he'll find humor in that. I walk to the living room and look out the window to see if he's here yet, but the driveway is empty. He's probably just running a little late. It's only been 45 minutes. Ken'll be home in an hour or so. He had a dinner with some colleagues. Being a terrible person, I claim to have a stomachache. I just hate those dinners. She laughs and I giggle as I attempt to smooth the chocolate icing along the edges of the cake. I don't blame you, I tell her, and place the numbers on the top of the cake. After arranging them to say 31, I decide to have them say 13 instead. Karen and I laugh at the corny candles, and I struggle with the thick icing to write Harden's name below the candles. It looks nice, she lies. I cringe at my terrible icing skills. It's the thought that counts, or at least it better be. He'll love it, Karen assures me, before heading upstairs so Harden and I can have some privacy when he gets here. It's now been an hour since he texted, and I'm sitting in the kitchen alone waiting for him to show. I want to call him, but if he isn't coming, he should be the one to call me and tell me. He'll come. It was his idea to come anyway. He will come.
Chapter 106. Harden. For a third time, Nate tries to hand me his cup.
Come on, man! Just one drink. It's your 21st birthday, dude. It's illegal not to.
Because it will get me out of here smoother, I finally relent.
Fine. One drink, but that's it.
Smiling, he pulls his cup back and grabs the bottle of liquor out of Tristan's hand.
Okay, then. At least have a proper one, he says.
I roll my eyes before taking a swig of the dark liquid.
All right, that's all. Now you can leave me alone, I tell him, and he nods in agreement.
I head to the kitchen to get another cup of water, and Zed, of all fucking people, stops me.
Here, he says, handing me my phone. You left it on the couch when you got up.
Then he wanders back into the living room.
Chapter 107. Tessa. After 2 hours, I leave the cake on the counter and head upstairs to take my makeup off and change back into my pajamas. This is what happens every single time I let myself give him another chance. Reality smacks me in the face. I really thought he was coming. I'm so foolish. I was downstairs baking him a cake. God, I'm an idiot. I grab my headphones before I allow myself to cry again. The music pours into my ears as I lie back on the bed and do my best to not be too hard on myself. He acted so different last night, mostly in a good way, but I do miss his perverted and rude remarks that I always pretend to hate but secretly love. I'm glad Landon didn't come to say hello when I heard him get home. I was still holding a little hope, and I would have looked even more ridiculous. Not that he'd ever tell me that, of course. I reach over and turn off the light on the nightstand, then turn down the music slightly. If this were a month ago, I would jump into my car and drive to that stupid house and ask him why the hell he stood me up. But it's now. And now, I just don't have it in me to fight him. Not anymore. I'm woken up by my phone ringing in my ears, and the noise coming through my headphones startles me. It's Harden, and it's almost midnight. Don't answer it, Tessa. I literally have to force myself to ignore his call and shut off my phone. I reach over and set the alarm clock on the nightstand and close my eyes. Of course he'd be drunk, dialing me after standing me up. I should have known better.
Chapter 108. Harden. Tessa isn't answering my calls, and it's pissing me off. It's my damned birthday for 15 more minutes, and she doesn't answer the phone. Yeah, I probably should have called her sooner, but still. She hasn't even responded to my text from hours ago. I thought we had a nice time yesterday, and she even tried to get me naked. It killed me to say no, but I knew what would happen if we went there. I don't need to take advantage of her right now, even though I really fucking want to. I think I'm going to go, I tell Logan, prompting him to unwrap himself from the dark-skinned brunette he's obviously taken a liking to.
Nah, you can't leave yet. Not until... Oh, there they are!
He calls and points. I turn around to see two girls in trench coats coming toward us. No fucking way. The crowded living room bursts into clapping and cheering. I don't do strippers, I tell him.
Oh, come on! How'd you even know they were strippers?
He laughs.
They're in fucking trench coats and high heels.
This is so fucking stupid.
Come on, man! Tessa won't care,
Logan adds.
That's not the point,
I growl, even though it is. It's not the only point, but it's the biggest.
Is this the birthday boy?
One of the girls says. Her bright red lipstick is giving me a headache already.
No, 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 I'm not.
I lie and bolt out the door.
Come on, Harden!
A few voices call. Hell no, I'm not turning around. Tessa will lose her shit if she thought I was around strippers. I can practically hear her screaming at me about it now. I wish she'd answered when I called. I try to call her one more time, as Nate attempts to call my other line. I'm not going back in there. No way in hell. I've participated in the birthday festivities long enough. I bet she's mad at me right now for not calling her earlier. But I never know when I should call and when I shouldn't. I don't want to push her, but I don't want to give her too much space either. It's a difficult line to walk, and I have no fucking balance. I check my phone one more time and see that the hey I sent her is the last message sent or received. Looks like it's me in that lonely-ass apartment again. Happy fucking birthday to me.
Chapter 109. Tessa. I wake up to a strange alarm, and it takes me a few seconds to remember I shut my phone off last night because of Harden. Then I remember how I'd sat at the kitchen counter, my excitement dying a little with each passing minute, only to have him never show up at all. I wash my face and get myself ready for the long drive to Vance. The one thing I really miss about the apartment is the shorter drive. And Harden. And the bookshelves that cover the wall. And the small but perfect kitchen. And that lamp. And Harden. When I walk downstairs, Karen is the only one in the kitchen. My eyes go directly to the cake with the number 13 in candles, and the stupid scribble that used to say Harden but now has shifted as a result of sitting out all night and looks like it says hell. Maybe it does. He wasn't able to make it, I tell her, without meeting her eyes. Yeah, I deduced. She gives me a sympathetic smile and wipes her glasses on her apron. She's the perfect housewife. She's always cooking or cleaning something, but more than that, she's so kind and she loves her husband and family, even her rude stepson, dearly. It's fine, I shrug, and fill a mug with coffee.
You know you don't always have to be fine, honey.
I know, but it's easier to be fine, I tell her, and she nods.
It's not supposed to be easy, she tells me,
and I nearly laugh at the irony of her using the words that Hardin always uses against me. Anyway, we're thinking of taking a trip to the beach next week. If you want to come, that would be lovely. One of the things I love about Landon's mother is that she never pushes me to talk about anything. The beach? In February? I ask.
We have a boat that we like to take out before it gets too warm.
We go whale watching and it's really neat. You should come. Really? I've never been on a boat before and the thought terrifies me. But whale watching does sound interesting. Yeah, okay.
Great. We'll have a really nice time, she assures me and heads into the living room.
I finally turn my phone back on when I get to Vance. I need to stop turning it off when I'm angry. I can just ignore Hardin's calls next time. If something happened with my mother and she couldn't get a hold of me, I'd feel terrible. Kimberly and Christian are leaning into each other in the hall when I step off of the elevator. He whispers something into her ear and she giggles before he tucks her hair behind her ear and smiles widely as he kisses her, both of them still smiling. I hurry to my office to call my mother, figuring it's time, but she doesn't answer. The manuscript I begin to read pisses me off within the first 5 pages. When I skim through the last few pages, I see I do and sigh. I'm sick of the same old story. Girl meets boy, boy loves her, one problem gets in the way, they make up, get married, have kids, the end. I toss the pages into the trash without reading further. I feel bad for not giving it much of a chance, but it's not working for me. I need a realistic story where there are real problems, more than one fight, and even a breakup. A real one. People hurt each other and keep coming back for more. Including me, of course. I realize this now. Christian walks past my office and I take a deep breath before getting up to follow him. I smooth my skirt and try to practice what to say to him about Seattle. I hope Hardin didn't ruin my chance to go. Mr. Vance? I knock lightly at his door.
Tessa, come on in,
he says with a smile. Sorry for bothering you, but I was wondering if you have a few minutes to talk about something, I ask, and he waves for me to sit down. I was wondering about Seattle, if there's any chance that I could transfer there. I understand if it's too late, but I'd really like to go, and Trevor mentioned it to me, and I was just thinking that it could be a really great opportunity for me if... Christian raises his hand and laughs, stopping me.
You really want to go?
He asks with a smile.
Seattle's a much different place from here.
His green eyes are soft, but I get the feeling he isn't convinced. Yes, I'm positive. I really would love to go. I would. I honestly would. Wouldn't I?
And Hardin? Would he be coming along?
He pulls at the knot on his tie, loosening the printed material around his neck. Should I tell him that Hardin refuses to go? That his place in my future is as unsure as it could be, and he's stubborn and paranoid? Instead, I go with, we're still discussing. Vance meets my eyes.
I would love to bring you to Seattle with us.
Then after a beat, he adds,
Hardin, too. He can tag along, maybe even get his old job back.
Christian says, then laughs.
If he can keep his mouth shut.
Really?
Yes, of course. You should have spoken up sooner.
He plays with his tie a little longer before completely removing it and laying it on his desk. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, I say, and mean it.
Do you have any idea when you'll be ready to go? Kim, Trevor, and myself will be leaving in about 2 weeks, but you can join us whenever you're ready. I know you have to transfer colleges. I'll work with you as much as I can.
2 weeks should be good, I answer, before I can think about it.
Great. This is just great. Kim will be happier than ever.
He smiles and I watch his eyes shift to the picture of Kimberly and Smith on his desk. Thank you again. This means so much to me, I tell him before leaving his office. Seattle. 2 weeks. I'm moving to Seattle in 2 freaking weeks. I'm ready. Aren't I? Of course I am. I've been waiting for this moment for years. I just never expected it to happen so soon. Chapter 110. Tessa. I wait outside of Zed's apartment, hoping he won't be too much longer. I really need to talk to him, and he said he was on his way home from work. I stop to grab a coffee on my way to kill some time. After waiting a few minutes, he pulls up, his truck blaring something amazingly loud. When he climbs out of it, he looks so good dressed in black jeans and a red t-shirt with cut-off sleeves that I'm momentarily distracted from my purpose.
Tessa,
he says with a big smile and invites me inside. After getting me another coffee and himself a soda, we go into the living room. Zed, I have something to tell you, I think, but I want to tell you something else first, I say. He puts his hands behind his head and leans against the back of the couch.
Is it about the party?
You went? I ask, putting my news on hold. I sit down on the chair across from the couch.
Yeah, for a while, but once those strippers showed up, I left.
Zed rubs the back of his neck. My breath is lost. Strippers? I croak, sitting my cup of coffee on the table before I drop the hot liquid onto my lap.
Yeah. Everyone was so wasted, and on top of that, they had strippers. That's not my thing, so I got out of there.
He shrugs. I was baking Harden a cake and planning to spend his birthday with him while he was getting wasted with strippers? Did anything else happen at the party? I ask, changing the subject again. I can't get the strippers out of my head. How could Harden stand me up for that?
Not really. It was just the typical party. Have you talked to Harden?
He asks, his eyes focused on his can of soda as his finger pushes the tab back and forth. No, I don't want to admit that he stood me up.
What were you going to say?
Zed questions. He said he was going to come over, but he didn't show.
That's low.
He shakes his head. I know, and you know what the worst part is? That we had a really good time on our date, and I thought he was really going to start putting me first. Zed's eyes are full of sympathy when I look at him.
Then he chose a party over going to see you,
he adds. Yeah. I really don't know what else to say.
I think that really shows what type of person he is and that he isn't going to change, you know?
Is he right? I know. I just really wish he'd talked to me about it or told me he just didn't want to come over instead of leaving me sitting there for hours waiting on him. My fingers play with the edges of the table, picking at the peeling wood.
I don't think you should talk to him about it. If he thought you were worth his time, he would have showed and not left you waiting.
I know you're right, but this is the main problem in our relationship. We don't talk about things. We both jump to conclusions that lead to yelling and one of us leaving, I say. I know Zed is only trying to help, but I really want Harden to explain to me, to my face, why hanging out with strippers was more important than me.
I thought you didn't have a relationship anymore.
We do. Well, we don't, but I don't even know how to explain it. I'm mentally exhausted, and Zed's presence sometimes confuses me even more.
It's your choice. I just wish you wouldn't waste any more time on him.
He sighs and gets up from the couch. I know, I whisper, and check my phone for a message from Harden. There isn't one.
Are you hungry?
Zed asks me from the kitchen, and I hear his empty can hit the trash.
Chapter 111. Harden. This apartment is so goddamned empty. I hate sitting here without her. I miss her legs resting on my lap as she studies, and I steal unnoticed glances at her while pretending to work. I miss the way she would obnoxiously poke my arm with her pen until I snatched it from her and held it above her head, and then she'd act so annoyed. But I knew she was only bugging me to get me to pay attention to her. The way she would climb on my lap to retrieve the object always led to the same thing every time, which was obviously a good thing for me. Fuck, I say to myself, and set my binder down. I haven't gotten shit done today, or yesterday, or the past 2 weeks, really. I'm still pissed that she didn't respond to me last night, but more than anything, I just want to see her. I'm pretty sure she'll be at my father's house, so I should just go by there and talk to her. If I call her, she may not answer, and that will make me more anxious. So I'll just stop by. I know I'm supposed to be giving her space, but really, fuck space. It's not working for me, and I hope it's not working for her either. By the time I get to my father's house, it's almost 7, and Tessa's car isn't here. What the fuck? She's probably at the store or library with Landon or some shit. I'm proven wrong when I see Landon sitting on the couch with a textbook on his lap. Great. Where is she? I ask him as soon as I enter the living room. I almost sit down next to him, but I decide to stand. That would be weird as fuck to just sit down with him. I don't know. I haven't seen her yet today,